Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa Conference. Today's class will be given by Her Grace Kirtida Sundari Mataji on the topic of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, Chapter 24, and summary study of Part 3 of this Chapter 24. Hare Krishna Mataji. Thank you very much, Kirtida Sundari Mataji. Dhamma Pranam. All goes to Srila Prabhupada, all goes to Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much for giving your very valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on this topic. Please take over the call now. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Kamadaki Mataji. Thank you so much for your wonderful, kind words and for warmly welcoming everybody. Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody who have joined us. Thank you, everyone, for your association. So we'll start now. So we'll be doing now summary of Chapter 24, Madhya Leela. That is the entitled chapter. Entitled is the explanations of the Atma Rama verse. So we'll start with the verse. आत्मरामश्च मुनियो निर्ग्रंथा अभिउर्क्रमे कुर्वन्ति अहितुकिं भक्तिम् इतं भूता गुणो हरि. Those who are self-satisfied and attracted and unattracted by external material desires are also attracted to the loving service of Sri Krishna, whose qualities are transcendental and whose activities are wonderful. Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is called Krishna because he has such transcendentally attractive features. This is the famous Atma Rama verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 7, verse number 10. Om Ajnana Timurandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmi Shri Guru Vaya Namaha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Chari Swami Iti Namine. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyata Deshakarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Sadhara Shivas Adi Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Advaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Advaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Advaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, dear devotees. So we are already covered a few verses from this chapter, and today we'll start with text number 107. But before we start, I'll just seek blessings from all of you, all the assembled Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis. So please bless me so that I'm able to speak something relevant and convey the right message that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tried to convey to Sanatan Goswami. And Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is now further trying to explain to all the readers. And of course, the real message that is being given by Ajiva Srila Prabhupada, because of his translation and purport, that we are able to relish these beautiful verses of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So I really humbly beg down to each and every one of you, please shower your prayers and blessings so that I may speak something relevant in purification of my own self and in glorification of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Pancha kalpa trivascha kripa sindhu vayevacha patita nam pavanevya vaishnavevyo namo namah. So we already covered from first verse to 107th verse, right? And today we'll start with 106 till 106 we covered, and today we'll start with 107. So Up till now, what we have covered is that what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining to Srila Sanatana Goswami about these various definitions, the various meanings of this one single word of Atma Ramavas. So, from verse number 1 to verse number 70, he basically gave the word-by-word meaning of this verse, you know, what is, and then one word, how does it have different meanings? And in the last class, what we discussed was how he was telling, just giving the indications of the words. That what is the indication that he gave is what he was explaining about the absolute truth, that absolute truth is one, but it can be realized into the three features. And then when we saw that how, you know, absolute truth can be characterized in the three features as the impersonal Brahman, the localized Paramatma, and the Bhagavan realization. So we delved into that into a great detail. And then Mahaprabhu explained that how various kind of devotees, you know, they approach Krishna, whether they may be akama, means those who are desireless, whether they may be moksha kama, those who desire liberation, or whether they may be sarva kama, that is who are desiring some kind of material perfection. But if all these devotees, they approach Krishna and don't go to any other demigod, then also Krishna says that they are magnanimous. I really appreciate them, that either they are coming with some desires, but at least they are approaching me. And then Mahaprabhu explains that slowly, slowly, when they approach Krishna and when they come into the contact of pure devotees or the contact of the association of pure devotees, then slowly and gradually all these sarvakama and mokshakama, they get dissolved into akama. They become desireless, right? And then they finally render some kind of devotional service. But then at the end, also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains that, yes, that's true, but again, Krishna's mercy, how does it come on sakama bhaktas? Then he says that how it comes is that he gives shelter of his own lotus feet, and then he covers all his undesirable condition. But all this only happens is because of devotee association, Krishna's mercy, and of course the characteristics of the bhakti, the devotional service that they perform is such that their undesirable things are gone, and then they get the association, and finally they attain the life platform of love of Godhead. So this was where we ended. But then it starts with 106 verse, 107th verse, where he says that now onwards I'll give you the seven explanations of the Atma Rama verse. So we'll try to cover from 107 to 153, where Mahaprabhu is explaining the seven different meanings of the Atma Rama verse to Srila Sanatana Goswami. We know that he, in the future verses, in this whole chapter, he explains in all 61 verses. But from 107 to 153, he'll cover the seven meanings of the Atma Rama verse, and that we'll cover today. So, yes, he told about akama, sarvakama, and moksha kama devotees, that's how they approach Krishna. But now he'll take only the jnana bhaktas, those who, not bhaktas I should say, but the jnana yogis, those who follow the jnana marg, right? Those who follow the philosophical speculation. So basically in this whole verses that we'll be reading from 107 to 153, he'll be discussing only about the jnana marg, those who follow the jnana marg, that is the philosophical speculation, and how, just touching upon them, this whole verse, the meaning of this whole verse will be given. The seven ways, the seven types of basically the jnanis. And then he starts that there are two types of worshippers who are on the path of philosophical speculation. One, he is saying they are Brahma Upasaka, and another they are saying that is a worshipper of impersonal Brahman, and the other he is saying that they are Moksha Kanshi, one who desires liberation. So among those Jnana Yogis, among those Jnana Jnanis, those who follow this Jnana Marga, that is a philosophical speculation, there are two types. One is the Brahma Upasaka, those who just want to have a knowledge of impersonal Brahman, those who basically worship the impersonal Brahman. And next is the Mokshakanshi, those who want to get liberation. Now we'll go with Brahma Upasaka, right? So we'll, time being, we'll leave the second type there, that is Mokshakanshi, but now we'll go with only Brahma Upasakas, that how they, how with them we can connect this whole verse too, right? So then Mahaprabhu goes on explaining that there are three types of Brahma Upasakas also. It's not that Brahma Upasakas can be just generalized into one big term, but there are three types of Brahma Upasakas. The first is the beginner, and the second is those who are really absorbed in the thoughts of Brahman. So beginners, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained them as sadhakas. And those who are absorbed in the thoughts of Brahman, he explained them as Brahma Maya. Those who are really, you know, Maya, Krishna Maya, right? Those who are really thoughts in the absorbed of Krishna. So here he is using the word Brahman Maya, means those who are totally in the thoughts of this impersonal Brahman, absorbed in that Brahman. And then third is the Prapta Brahmalaya, means those who have already merged into the impersonal Brahman. So they are these three types of impersonal Brahman. But then Mahaprabhu explains that yes, still, as we covered in the last class, that what is this Brahman realization? After all, this is the realization of, it is the aspect of the absolute truth, right? It is nothing material. We cannot say that they are wrong. It's the absolute. It's one of the aspects of the absolute truth. So the knowledge is incomplete, right? But yes, there is some kind of bliss. There is some kind of ananda. There is, of course, the miseries are definitely not there in that Brahman realization. So the knowledge is incomplete. But after all, this is the knowledge of absolute truth. So something which is beyond this material, naturally one cannot achieve unless and until one is really into a kind of devotional service. Now devotional service, it's like the epitome of devotional service is Anya Vilashita Shunam Jnana Karma Anavritam. That is the epitome, right? That okay, you have to get devoid from all kind of jnana and karma. But still, we are talking about those bhaktas, those yogis, those who are, do have some desire, they do have, but still, you know, they are approaching the absolute truth. So then Mahaprabhu explains that one cannot attain liberation simply through philosophical speculation, which is devoid of devotional service, right? If one renders some kind of devotional service, then you know he is already on some kind of Brahman platform. So even the neophyte devotees of Krishna consciousness, when they start their devotional service, we have to understand that they are already on the level of Brahman realization. For example, a person who has eyes can always see the rays coming in the sun, the rays coming in the room. We took an example in the last class that how there are different realizations, right, of this Brahman. So the sun rays coming in the room, we say that the sun has come. But then go deeper, then we say, okay, there should be some source from these sun rays are coming, that is the sun. And finally, who is controlling? Then we come into the platform of a two-handed personality. That is, we know that there is a sun god who is maintaining all this. But a person who has eyes can definitely feel and see the sun rays coming in the room. So a person who has performed little bit of devotional service is naturally and automatically on the Brahman platform, which is again, I'll say, is incomplete, but it is true. Right. And then he explains that Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in the verse number 111, where he says, Bhakta Deha Pailahaya Gune Nasmarana Gunakshasa Hana Kare Nirmala Bhajana. So there he says that those Brahma Upasakas, those who are rendering bhakti, they are doing some kind of devotional service, not the pure devotional service which is bereft of all jnana and karma. but some kind of devotional service, maybe with some intentions, then what will happen? What will happen gradually if they are doing the such services? Right? So first is, the result is that first he is explaining that they are automatically on the Brahman platform. The next he is saying that they are attracted away from the Brahman platform. They are on the Brahman platform, but gradually they get some higher taste after doing certain kind of devotional services, and then they reject, simply reject. When they come on to the understanding, they simply reject this Brahman platform. And then what's the result? They are being offered a spiritual body, that is the Divya Deha, through which they can serve Krishna. And then what will happen when they serve Krishna? They'll automatically remember the Krishna's transcendental qualities. And even a liberated soul merged in Brahma is attracted on Krishna's pastime, and thus he installs deity and renders service. So this is the explanation that Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave. But just to explain it further, I'll go with it, that how the impersonal worshippers, we saw that there are three types. So one is the sadhakas, the second is the Brahma Maya, those who are absorbed in the thought of Brahman, and the third is the Prapta Brahma Maya, those who have realized this Brahman realization and finally got merged into this impersonal Brahman. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he was explaining, and then Srila Prabhupada in his purport explains that yes, you cannot come even on the realization of Brahman platform unless and until you are on the stage of Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma. In Bhagavad Gita, it has been explained that Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma stage is where there is no Sanshati, no Nakanshati. There is no lamentation and there is no hankering. No lamentation of what has been done in the past and no hankering that what is going to happen in future. If we come on to the stage, that is what is known as the Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma state. So, just to give an example and understand this, that if you want to take a flight, suppose you want to go to a certain state, and if you want to go take a flight, will the airplane will come to at your place? No. You have to go to airport in order to board that plane, the plane which is going to your desired destination. Similarly, if you want to know any of the aspect of absolute truth, whether it is impersonal Brahman, whether it is localized Paramatma realization, or whether it is Bhagavan realization, one has to go to an airport, one has to come to a platform of Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma state where there is no hankering, no lamentation. You have to come onto that platform. That is the meaning. That means you have to perform some kind of devotional service, even if you want liberation. Otherwise, it is not at all possible. But then one who comes onto this platform, then what happens? Then, one approaches this pure devotional service. And then what happens? Sarvapadi vinirmukto. One just gives up one's own designation, that whatever one has, one loses one's own identity of being a mother, identity of being a daughter or a husband or a wife or a son or a brother or a sister, no matter what. One leaves that material identity and finally understands its spiritual identity. And what is that spiritual identity? Jiva Sarupa Hoy Nitya Krishna Das, that one becomes eternal servant of Krishna. And then what Mahaprabhu is explaining, that as soon as one gives up this Sarvapadhi Vinar Mukto, one gives up all kind of designations, all kind of upadhi, then one is simply absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna. And when simply absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna, then one automatically remembers the Krishna's qualifications, Krishna's pastimes, they already come into it. And then finally, in the next verse also, Mahaprabhu explains that even now those souls who have merged in the impersonal Brahman, sometimes they are also attracted to the pastimes of Krishna. They also install a Krishna deity and they also render the Lord's service. But here Prabhupada explains that there is a difference. Those liberated souls who are so much into Brahmamaya position, still they'll install Krishna's deities, but they have some ulterior motive, and their ulterior motive is to merge into themselves in Brahman. They are not a kind of Brahmavadis who basically want to know the absolute truth, but rather these people who install a deity and try to render some service, but they are already Atma Brahmanmaya, they just want to merge into the Lord effulgence. And that's what Vin Shankaracharya wrote in his commentary of Narasimha Thapani. Then Mahaprabhu gives the example of such people who were into the impersonal Brahman, who want to know about the impersonal Brahman, sorry, but how they were somehow involved in some kind of devotional service, and because of that, they came into the association of the pure devotees, and finally they became the recipient of Krishna's mercy, and how they rise up from the Brahman platform to the pure Bhakta platform. Right? So then he gave three examples. The first example he gave about Sukadeva Goswami. Second example he gave about four Kumaras. And the third example he gave about Nav Yogendras. So we'll just see one by one how it goes. So the example of Sukadeva Goswami, we all know, we have read it so many times, and last class also we read it, that how Sukadeva Goswami, as soon as he took birth, you know, he just walked away. For 16, or I think for 14 or 16 years, he was in the womb of his mother. And finally, when he just came out, he just walked away. And then Vyasadeva, his father, tried to call him back, but he was such an impersonalist that he doesn't want to hear anything. So Vyasadeva, what he did, he sent two of his disciples to the forest, to Sukadeva Goswami, and told them that you don't have to call him back, but rather you have to recite verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. So they recited from the 10th canto, they recited one of the verses which explains the external beauty of Krishna. That how he is wearing this yellow pitambari, how he is, his eyes are so lotus-eyed, and then he is wearing a peacock feather, and then he has a flute in his hand. So there, his external beauty was being described to Sukadeva Goswami, and Sukadeva Goswami, you know, his heart was not wholeheartedly, but yeah, somehow he got attracted, but then he gave it up. He didn't even damn care about it, that okay, whatever they are explaining. He was not too much attracted to it. But then, on the order of Vyasadeva, they explained about the words where he was telling in Bhagavatam. In the third canto it comes, where he described about the words where how Putana was given the Putana was given the destination in Golok Vrindavan, and how she became a nun. So that was, you know, really melted the heart of Sukadeva Goswami, and he thought, oh wow, this lady came to kill Lord Krishna, but see the magnanimity of Lord Krishna, that he gave him the position of nurse in his eternal abode. So just hearing this verse from one of the disciples of Srila Vyasadeva, he just came back, and then he systematically, you know, heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Vyasadeva. So how he came into contact with a pure devotee, that is Srila Vyasadeva, his own father, and finally he rise up from this impersonalist to a pure bhakta. Right? So we saw this example of Sukadeva Goswami. And then, of course, the mind of four Kumaras. We know that how four Kumaras, they went to Vaikuntha just to see darshan of, you know, Lord Narayana. And how, when they passed on few gates of Vaikuntha and they came on the seventh gate, how they were stopped by Jay and Vijay, the doorkeepers. And they were simply back and forth arguing was going on. They said that you are not allowed, you are just, you know, they are child, and they were naked. And then they said how you can stop us. So they were basically impersonalists. But as soon as Krishna heard, you know, their mind, then Krishna came, and their minds of the four Kumaras, how they were attracted by the aroma of the flowers or the tulasi leaves that was there on the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. We were so much attached to that. And then what is the pramans? Praman given in Srimad Bhagavatam in the third canto, I'll not go with the word, but the translation says, when the breeze carrying the aroma of tulsi leaves and saffron from the lotus feet of the lotus-eyed personality of Godhead enter through the nostrils into the hearts of those sages, that is the four Kumaras, they experienced a change in both of their mind as well as their body. And even though they were attached to the impersonal Brahman understanding. So they were Brahma Maya, right? They were into impersonalism. But see how, when they came into the contact of a devotee, finally they saw Krishna and their mind and body, both of them got absorbed in the transcendental qualities of Lord Sri Krishna. So after all, they also became the pure bhaktas. We know the whole Vaishnava Sampradaya comes from these four Kumaras, which is known as the Kumara Sampradaya. And then the third, is given, the example is being given in text number 118, that about the nine Yogendras, right? The Nav Yogendras. They were also impersonal philosophers of the Absolute Truth. But when they heard the glories of Lord Sri Krishna from Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and Narada, they also became Krishna's devotees. So the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam describes about these Navyogendras. So Rishabhdev has 100 sons, right? One of his sons was Bharat Maharaj. We all know about him. How Bharat Maharaj, he was the ruler, and because of which this whole Bharat Varsha was known by his name. And then finally he renounced everything, and then he went in the forest, he got attracted to deer, and then in the next life he took a deer body, and finally in the third life he became Jada Bharata. So that's the whole story. One of the sons of Rishabhdev was Bharat Maharaj. Now the another nine sons were the Navyogendras, those who were celibate, right? And they performed various kinds of austerities, penances. They were known as, other nine sons were Navyogendras. And I think there are a few names written, Kavi, Havi, so and so forth. And then there were 81 other children who were into Grahastha. So that's the whole, just a description that who Navyogendras were. And finally, you know, these Navyogendras, they rendered devotional service by, they were attracted, they came into the contact of the pure devotees like Narada Muni, Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. And then they were enlightened, and then they came into the platform of devotional service. And then finally in the 11th canto, there is a whole description how Narada Muni is telling the story of to Vasudev, the father of Lord Sri Krishna. That's how all these Navyogendras, they were impersonalists. But how in the association of Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma and Narada, they became so much into Krishna, they became actually Krishna conscious. And then they recited this whole part of devotional service to Maharaj Nimi. The whole 11th canto is being described. So one of the Praman in Maha Upanishad is being given, that is text number 120 of Chaitanya Charitamritam. The nine Yogendras entered Lord Brahma's association and heard from him the real meaning of the topmost Vedic literatures and Upanishads. Although the Yogendras were already conversant of Vedic knowledge, they became very jubilant in Krishna consciousness just by listening to Brahma. Thus they wanted to enter Dwarka, the place of Lord Krishna, the abode of Lord Krishna. And in this way, they finally achieved the place known as Rangakshetra. So I didn't get a whole, any description about this verse, but yes, Rangakshetra, in one of the Prabhupada's purport, I'll just open up, give me a second. Okay, so actually in Srila Prabhupada's purport to CC Madhya 979, it's mentioned that Sri Rangakshetra is also known as Sri Rangam. It's a very famous place, and we all know where Sri Rangam lies. It's one of the temple largest in India. It has seven walls. And so this is, Sri Rangam is basically Rangakshetra. That's what Srila Prabhupada explains. And the glories of Rangakshetra is that Vishnu is the, it's one of the abode of Vishnu. You know, Vishnu has Divya Desham. Actually, it's been said that in most of the temples, the deities are carved by human beings. But in all these Divya Deshams, that is 108 sacred abodes of Vishnu, actually Lord Krishna himself manifests his deity at his own will. So one of them is Vaitranga Kshetra. It's basically, I cannot explain you much more about it. I think so Priti Vilasini is well versed in all this. But this is what I just came to know about this Ranga Kshetra. So these nine Yogendras were finally into, they got this, they achieved this place of Ranga Kshetra just by coming in contact. The crux is that you have to come in, the one who comes into the contact of a pure devotee, one even leaves the platform of impersonal Brahman and gradually comes on the level of pure devotional service. We can see the lives of our own self while, you know, okay, these are the examples which are being given in the scriptures, in Srimad Bhagavatam and various other scriptures about Sukhdev Goswami, about Navi Yogendras, about, Four Kumaras. But still, if we see our life, of our own life, who were we before coming into Krishna consciousness? Many of us were into the worship of demigods. Many of us, including me, myself. You know, but still, you know, because we were into just the worship of demigods, or we had a vague idea of that absolute truth, but still we were not so, you know, we have not already merged kind of thing. We are just the beginner sadhakas, or we can say we are just the upasakas of Brahma. So there, when we get the association of a pure devotee, when we get the association of the devotees of Srila Prabhupada, then what happened? Our own life got changed, right? And then we started doing some kind of devotional service, initially, you know, with karma and jnana, initially with desiring something, with sakama. But gradually, now when we know this knowledge, when we got this higher taste, we ourselves have left about the theory of impersonal Brahman. And now we are, if someone talks to us, then also we say that, oh, this is such a, this theory is not to be something on relied on. We cannot rely on such kind of theories, right? So we ourselves deny that philosophy now. So it's just, you know, coming in contact of a pure devotee, getting Krishna's mercy, and of course the nature of devotional service is such that we go for a higher taste and we leave the lower taste. So this is about Brahma Upasaka, right? So moving back, because might some of you have lose the track. So we talk about two kind of worshippers, right, on the philosophical speculation. The one is the Brahma Upasaka, who is the worshipper of impersonal Brahman, that we have already been described. That is the three examples that has been given, that of Sukadev Goswami for Kumaraj and Sukhdev Goswami for Kumaraj and Navi Yogendras. And now we'll talk about the second part, that is a Moksha Kanshi, right? Brahma Upasaka and Moksha Kanshi. In Brahma Upasaka, there were three. Who were the three? Sadhakas, Brahma Mirmaya, and Prapta Brahmalaya. Right? They were three. We talked about all three of them. But now we come on to the next part of the philosophical speculators, that is the Moksha Kanshi. And it starts with verse number 121. It says, Mokshakanshi Jnani Haya Tina Prakara. Now, Mokshakanshi also, he's saying there is three. First is Mumukshu Jivan Mukta Prapta Sarupa Ara. So those who wish to merge into the impersonal Brahman are also divided into three categories. First is those who are desiring to be liberated. Now he is talking about the liberation part. Those who are desiring to be liberated, that is Mumukshu. And then those who are already liberated, that is Jivan Mukta. And third is those who have realized Brahman, that is Prapta Swarupa Ara. So these are the three. So I am also referring, just give me a minute. Hmm. So these are the three. So first he will discuss about mumukshu, those who are desiring to be liberated, right? So those who want to get relieved from the material clutches, they give up the worship of the various demigods who have fearful body features. So those demigods who have fearful body features, example Prabhupada gives of Kali and Kalbhairav, Rudra, you know, people do worship all these demigods. But they finally, those who want to liberation, they finally give up, those who want actually to give themselves up, relieve themselves from the material clutches, they give up the worship of various demigods. And finally, they worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the different forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they somehow perform the devotional service. And the next is, he's saying that if those who are attracted to demigod worship, fortunately they associate with the devotees, their dormant devotional service and appreciation, this is the verse number 124 purport that I'm reading. If those who are attached to the demigod worship fortunately associate with the devotees, their dormant devotional service and appreciation to the Lord's qualities gradually awaken. And in this way, they also engage in Krishna's devotional service and give up the desire for liberation and the desire to merge into the existence of impersonal Brahman. So these people, they just, you know, they get themselves engaged in Krishna's devotional service and they give up the desire of liberation that we have already been discussed. Now here, the praman that is being given from the various scriptures we'll see. So this is text number 125. It is from Hari Bhakti Shubhodaya, where translation says, O great learned devotee, although there are many faults in this material world, there is one good opportunity. And what is that opportunity? Association with devotees. Such association brings about great happiness. Due to this good quality, our strong desire to achieve liberation by merging into the impersonal Brahman effulgence has become weakened. Who is saying this verse? So it's Narada when he went to Naimisharanya at the hermitage of Shaunak Rishi. There a lot of other brahmanas were there, including this Shaunak Rishi. So all these great brahmanas are telling to Narada Muni. This is from Hari Bhakti Shubhodaya. They are basically addressing Narada Muni, all these brahmanas, including Shaunak Rishi, in the hermitage of Shaunak Rishi. They are addressing Narada Muni that, O great learned devotee, you are such a great learned devotee. We know that this material world is full of faults, but there is only one good thing. And what is that one good opportunity that one gets? Is the association of devotees. And as soon as one gets the association of devotees, it brings so much happiness that they are saying that their desire to achieve liberation has become weakened now, because now they have got the higher taste, they have got the higher truth, the higher understanding of absolute truth. So this is one of the praman. The next praman he gives that... next Raman he is giving from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that in this Dwarka Dham, this is verse number 128, where he says that in this Dwarka Dham, I am being attracted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, who is personified spiritual bliss. Simply by seeing him, I am feeling great happiness. Oh, I have wasted so much time to become self-realized through impersonal cultivation. And this is the cause for lamentation. So finally, even after coming to the abode of Lord Shri Krishna, maybe in the Bauma Leela, but still you get so much attracted to Lord Krishna's qualities, pastimes, his features, that one loses his taste for the impersonal Brahman and finally thinks, oh, I have been simply wasting my time into all this. It's just, you know, waste of time. Finally, I know the higher truth and I came to know this Krishna conscious realization. So this is the second. So Mahaprabhu says, Jivan Mukta Aneka, this is text number 129, Sei Dui Bheda Jani, Bhakta Jivan Mukta Janane Jivane Mukta Mami. That there are many people who are liberated even in this lifetime. Some are liberated by discharging devotional service and some are liberated by some philosophical speculative process. They are. But the condition is that there is a difference between these two transcendentalists. One is that when we are liberated by doing devotional service, we become more and more attracted to the transcendental qualities of Krishna. While those who engage just through the speculative process, they eventually fall down again. This we covered in the last class also, that how those who get merged into the effulgence of Krishna, that is the impersonal Brahma Jyoti, they are also liberated, right? They are liberated because they are away from the clutches of material energy. But till how much time one can become, one can stay away and one can just, you know, be in light. After that, what? Because soul is not inert. Soul needs some kind of activity. So finally, they have to come down. Because of these quality, eventually they come down. Because then they desire to take part in the devotee's family so that they can serve Krishna. So finally, they also come back and then they realize the higher principle, the higher state. The next Pramana, it's been told by about in Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a verse where he says the demigods were offering prayer to Lord Krishna when Lord Krishna was in the womb of Devaki. And what they said, that, O lotus-eyed one, those who think that they are liberated in this life, they are not, but are without devotional service to you of impure intelligence. Although they accept severe kind of austerities and penances, but still to rise on to the spiritual position, to personal Brahman realization, they fall down again because they neglect the worship of your lotus feet. So one has to somehow get oneself engaged in the devotional service, and one has to come onto the platform of Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma state, where there should be no lamentation, no hankering. Only then one can rise up. And then text 134, it says, Bhakti Bale Praptasarupa Divya Deha Paya Krishna Gunakrishna Hana Bhaje Krishna Paya. So one who has attained his constitutional position by the strength of devotional service, he attains the transcendental body even in this lifetime. Being attracted by Lord Krishna's transcendental qualities, he fully engages in service at his lotus feet. And then about Navayogendras also, right, we talked about. So this is again one of the Navayogendra, that is Kavi. He is explaining to Maharaj Nimi. This is also Praman, which has been given in Srimad Bhagavatam, that when the living entity, this is verse number 137, that when the living entity is attracted by the material energy, which is separated from Krishna, what is that? Maya. He is overpowered by fear. Because he is separated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the material energy, his conception of life is reversed. In other words, instead of being eternal servant of Krishna, instead of becoming the Jiva Sarupa or Nitya Krishna Das, they become Krishna's competitor. They become Maya Das. And this is called Viparyo Smritihi, opposite, right? Now, to nullify this mistake, one who is actually learned and advanced, worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead as his spiritual master, as his worshipable deity, and as a source of life. Only then he thus worships the Lord by the process of unalloyed devotional service. This is actually told by one of the Navayogendra, his name is Kavi, to Nimi Maharaj. But later, in the 11th canto, it's been mentioned that this verse was spoken by by Narad Muni to Vasudev. So, and then the, yeah. And then in text number 142, again Narad Muni is saying to Vyasudev, that if one simply maintains an official position of the four varnas and ashrams, but does not worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he falls down from his puffed up position into the hellish condition. So when one is actually liberated by executing devotional service, he always engages in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So now, up till now, to condense, to, you know, summarize what we said. Now, the six types of Atmarama has been described, right? So now, what were the six kind of Atmaramas that has been described? The first is the beginner, that is a sadhaka. The second was described, actually, the two broad categories were described. Now, this is the last part. Up till now, we were reading one by one, and we were seeing the Praman from Srimad Bhagavatam and various other scriptures. To summarize, now Mahaprabhu is telling, see that how we can understand the six different meanings of Atmarama verses have come out into up to this level. How? Because he was describing about the six different types of Atmarama. Right? What were the six different types of Atmarama? He describes, right? So first was the Brahma Upasakas, and the next was Moksha Kami. In Brahma Upasakas, there were three. In Moksha Kamas, there were three. So total six. Who were there? First was Sadhaka, next was Brahma Maya, and the third one is Prapta Brahma Maya. These are the three kinds which falls under the category of Brahma Upasakas. And then the next three, which is Mumukshu, Jivan Mukta, and Prapta Sarupa, those who have already achieved their Sarupa, Prapta Sarupa, all these three also comes into the categories of Moksha Kanshi, those who desire liberation. So total six meanings he has given of the word Atmarama. So this is how he is saying this whole verse can imply the meaning of six different types of Atmarama. So that's how the six different meanings come. And then he says, the verse says, Atmaramas cha munyo nirgrantha. Right? So munyo and nirgrantha is the seventh type. So this is how the seven meanings of Atmarama verse comes. I hope I'm making it clear. So six different Atmaramas, the meaning of Atmaramas, that is Sadhaka, Brahma Maya, Prapta Brahma Maya, then Mumukshu, then Jivan Mukta, and then Prapta Sarupa. These are the six types of Atmarama. And the seventh is about the Munyo and Nirgrantha. That is another Munyo and Nirgrantha. That is those who are devoid of all kinds of rules and regulations. That is the seventh meaning. Now he is saying that the word cha is being used. And that we can read in text number 51, he says, that why he has used the word Atmaramas cha. Huh? Because here he's been explaining that instead of saying, like, you can read text number 51, the translation says, of words having the same form and case termination, the last one is the only one retained. For example, the word Rama, which means about many Ramas, is used to stand for Ramascha, means this Rama. So instead of saying this Atmarama, this Atmarama, this Atmarama, this Atmarama, he is using the word Atmaramascha. So this is how the six different meanings, the six different meanings of the word Atmarama comes forth in this whole explanation. And how you can imply, you can take one person, the meaning of one Atmarama and apply it to the word, and meaning of the second Atmarama and then apply it to the word. So instead of saying Atmaramascha, he's saying, means Ramacha, he's just saying, Atmaramascha Munyo Nirgrantha. This is how the seven different meanings that it comes. Just to clarify the meanings of Atmarama. So this is till number 153 that we have covered. And now, from now onwards, which will be covered in the next class, he will be telling about Ashtanga Yogis. So we read about Jnana Yogis. And now we'll be talking about Ashtanga Yogis. So Jnana Yogis, and then now he will tell about those who are Ashtanga Yogis, that they realize what? Paramatma realization. They have the Paramatma realization. So that he will go in detail in the future verses. Up till now, he just gave the seven meanings, the six different types of the meaning of Atmarama. And then he's saying, he's taking the seventh one, which is a Muni or Nirgrantha, that he can take the meaning that already we have discussed, the general meaning of Muni and Nirgrantha. Right? So these are the seven different meanings that he gave of the Atmarama. So thank you all so much for patiently listening to me. I know these classes are really technical. I don't know how much we'll get benefit out of it. But the point is, over and over and over reading will really help us. But underlying truth is that whoever we were, when we come into the association of pure devotee, we get a higher taste. So when we got a higher taste, why not distribute this knowledge to others so that others can at least come onto this platform that yes, there is something in Srila Prabhupada's purpose that can elevate us onto the platform of pure devotional service. Because ultimate thing is to go to Krishna's abode and participate in Krishna's activity, relish Krishna's activity. That's the ultimate goal, right? And already this Damodar month has already started. Today is the third day. And that is the purpose of this whole Damodar month, is just so that one can get absorbed in Krishna's quality, in Krishna's pastimes. That is the ultimate goal of this Damodar month, right? Somehow get absorbed, be Krishna Maya, right? That is what is being needed in this month. So thank you all so much for patiently listening. And let's see if you have any quick questions or comments, and we can take further. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna. Kirti Rasanduri Mataji. All glories to you. Please accept my humble obeisances at your lotus feet. This was a tremendous job. Tremendous. Mataji, I have a couple of questions. I don't know how to put my question, but I hope you're able to understand what I'm trying to get at. So we see in 24.146, the six kind of Atmaramas render devotional service to Krishna without ulterior motives. The words Munayaha and Shantaha indicate those who are very much attached to meditating upon Krishna. The word Nirgrantha means without ignorance and devoid of rules and regulations. Whichever meaning fits may be applied for the seventh person, right? So my question is, these Munayaha, Shanta, Nirgrantha, anything can be applied to get the seventh meaning. That's what Mahaprabhu is saying, right?
Yes.
Okay. And in Munaya, Shanta, then is he also differentiating them in the sense that these are the previous six kind of Atmaramas, they went without any ulterior motives. Munaya, Shanta, they are attached to meditation on Krishna. Is that what the difference is?
Yeah, in the like Munaya, we saw the word one who is thoughtful, one who is silent, one who is an ascetic, right? These are the meanings that Mahaprabhu gave of Munaya. So Munaya and Shanta means those who are on the Shanta Rasa, right? That's what from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is being given. Yes. Those six are different, and this is Munya, Shanta, or Nirgantha. You can apply those who are simply meditating upon Krishna.
So, depending on the number of words that Munya, Shanta, and Nirgantha can imply, so many more permutation combinations can be brought about.
Yeah.
Right? But you're just clubbing everything as the seventh meaning. Is that correct?
As the seventh meaning, yes.
Oh, okay. I mean, it's amazing.
Seriously.
Yeah. And one more thing, I don't know if I'm speculating, but the previous six kind of Atmaramas, they didn't have ulterior motives. But here we see that these Munaya and Shanta, they have some kind of attachment to meditation. Is that what you understand, or there's no meaning in that statement? Verse 146,
what
translation?
So the six kinds of Atmaramas render devotional service to Krishna without ulterior motives. Yeah, because they don't have any ulterior motive. They want to get, they are Jnana Yogis, right? They don't want anything material. They don't want anything because they have realized that this material world is not a worth place of living. They have realized that. Right. So they don't have any other ulterior motive, but they have only one, just to get merged into the effulgence of Brahman.
Okay.
That is their only motive. No other ulterior motives they have.
But how about the seventh one? Because are they are attached to meditation on Krishna? Are they attached to the process
itself? Yeah. No, they are attached to meditating upon Krishna. Those who are in Shanta, Muneo, like example is being given of the trees.
Mm.
And also the example is being given of the Navayogendras. They were into a Shantarasa.
Mm.
Right? They were into Shantarasa. And finally they were simply meditating upon Krishna.
Yeah.
Not just to serve Krishna, they were not the bhaktas yet, because they have not even tasted the the taste of devotional service, they haven't got yet. But they were into Shantarasa.
Okay, I get it. Yeah. So
yeah.
I understand. Okay.
But
so the seventh one can be
that of a devotee. Go ahead.
No, first you finish saying.
No, I was just saying, so they were simply, they have not got the taste yet, but after coming into the association of a pure devotee, they realize and then finally they become Krishna Bhakta. Right now, they are not into the category of any Bhakta.
Got it. Okay, makes sense. Yeah, that totally makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yes. And the second question I had was a very stupid and straightforward question, which I think you can answer directly. Because I think it's too basic to ask this question, but then still I want to ask just to make sure. So we saw the vast classifications, the Brahmoparsakas 108 to 120 and 121 to 144 Mokshakanshis, right? So if you see the direct translation, Brahmoparsakas are worshippers of Brahman, whereas Mokshakanshis are those who are impersonal liberation, who want to merge into the impersonal Brahman. So I am just asking this question to understand what is their mood in that case. So the Brahmoparsakas, since they are giving examples of Kumara, Shukdev Goswami and Navayogendras, so these Brahmoparsakas, they don't want to become Brahman. Like, is it the first category is more like Brahmavadi, and the second category, when we are talking about Mokshakanshis, are we talking about Mayavadi? That is my question.
Exactly. Yes, that's the true understanding.
Okay, so Mokshakanshis, those who desire impersonal liberation, they want to merge into the Brahman and become God, like that, is it?
Exactly, they want to become God.
Okay.
But here, they are not talking about those Mayavadis. Here, they are talking about those who simple, because here, they are not talking about Mayavadis. Mayavadi is altogether an offensive thing.
Right,
because they want to become God. They want to become God. But here they are talking about those jnanis who want to just get liberated from this material clutches. So they want to just merge into the impersonal. Merge into the impersonal Brahman means, I don't want to name the organization because this is a call and it's been recorded. I don't want to be offending anybody. But we know that there are different kinds of organizations where you go to them. Especially I have the experience when I went for a book distribution, once, and they said, oh, what you are talking about, this Bhagavad Gita, this Arjuna, Krishna, come to us. We have the sessions where, we can help you to meditate and finally you'll get light. You will be in light. You will be in light. You will be liberated. You will get light. You'll get to see that light. Because they don't want to believe that there is some two-handed form. They believe that the ultimate source of everything is that light. And so the next question what I ask them, okay, fine, you can show me the light if I come to your sessions, but after then what? After that what? After seeing that light, so what? Even those who, develop that, the Kundalini Shakti, after that what? Is that the ultimate goal? No. Because after that, since you are not offensive, I'm not saying that you are offensive, you have realized the incomplete truth. So ultimately, the soul is not inert. The soul wants some activity. So when they see that activity, they want to come back. And finally, they come back. So here they are talking about those speculative, the philosophers, those jnana yogis who want to get liberated. They want to just achieve the light. They are not offensive. I'm not talking about those Mayavadis who want to become God. But they don't believe. These are such people who don't believe that there is God. they believe that ultimate is Brahman, ultimate is light, ultimate is that effulgence. That is the ultimate.
Okay. So the Kumaras and Avayogendras and the Shukadev Goswami, initially they were not even caring for liberation. They were just worshipping the Brahman, but they were not caring
exactly
the Brahman.
Exactly. They were just the worshippers.
They were not interested
Worship. No. They are not interested in any kind of liberation or merging into the effulgence. But they were simply the Brahma Upasakas. They just want to worship the impersonal part, impersonal truth of that Brahman. Absolutely.
Wow. Okay. Hear me? Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you for coming. Thank you for taking up this huge task and explaining this to all of us. It's not easy. Thank you for all.
Seriously, it's not easy. It was so difficult for me too. But somehow Prabhupada's mercy is that everything is so much available.
Thank you. Thank you. Anyone has any questions, comments, realizations, additions?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Akrishna, Prabhupada, Guru Maharaj. I had a question, but now that I'm thinking about it, I think I'm completely lost. So you must excuse me. It's because I've been in and out of the classes, so I've missed so much in between. So I'm kind of playing catch up. So a general question. So when you were speaking about the seven different aspects, the seven different types of Atmaramas. So when Adi Gadada Prabhu had given definition a couple of days, ago class, and he had said there's seven different meanings for Atmarama. Is this what we're connecting with? And these are the seven types?
Yes.
Okay, yes. Okay. Okay, and then when you said, Cha Munayo Nirgranda, that, you said that. Mm. Now, when you're talking, and I'm just kind of like jumping ahead. So I remember him saying also there are seven types for Muniyo and Nirganda too. Or Muniyo and Nirganda had many meanings. I don't remember now exactly.
Yes.
So now when we're talking about the Ashtanga Yoga types that we're going to talk about in the next summer, summary class, is this when we're going to start talking from the Muniyo part?
Yes.
Or is that temple?
Yes.
Okay.
We are talking about those who are into the Ashtanga Yoga.
And that'll be the
we
next set.
We discussed today about the Jnana. Yeah, that will be the next type. Yes.
Okay. So I guess I'm not completely lost. Okay. And
No. From 160.
Yes,
yeah.
Go
so
ahead.
Right now, today, this time we read about Brahma Upasakas. And now from 154. To 164, he'll give six more worshippers, those who worship the Supreme Absolute as Antaryami, means as Paramatma realization. So Antaryami Upasakas. Then he'll give six more meanings to this word. Yes.
Right. Okay. And as Vidyalakshmi Mataji was explaining, even though Mahaprabhu gave so many meanings, because of the, as they said, the different kind of combinations or permutations that we could put, there can be many more than this?
I think so. Mahaprabhu gave the ultimate. What more we can make it out?
I'm just curious, and that's kind of like a silly question, I guess. But just a thought that I had. Also, and
it's just a cotton. When you make different kind of cotton balls from one huge cotton. Okay, this also comes. This is Sanskrit language is such, right? Shanatan Goswami asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was expecting only the 18 different meanings that Mahaprabhu gave to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Right? Because to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, when he explained this Atma Rama verse, he just gave the 18 different meanings. But now when he was talking to Sanatan Goswami, he came up with 61 different meanings.
Right.
So it's just, you can take out the various balls.
So obviously
balls
there are. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's it. I've kind of come to a place where I'm a little bit seeing the light. But thank you very much. I very much appreciate this summary class of everything, and thank you very much, Hare Krishna. I'll go back and listen to the other one so I can come back on track. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Hare Krishna. Okay, anyone else have anything?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. I just want to see if I have the correct conception of the difference between Mayavadi and Brahmavadi.
Mm-hmm.
So my conception is that both have this conception of or an idea that there is an absolute truth. The Mayavadis, they feel that they are the absolute truth. They are, God in that sense, that, this impersonal absolute truth. The Brahmavadis, they also believe that there is an absolute truth, but they don't think that they are that absolute truth. They think that they can be part of that absolute truth. So absolute truth is greater than them and therefore worshipable. It's just that they have an impersonal conception of what that higher truth is.
Yes. The Brahmavadis, do accept this absolute truth, but somehow they are attached only to the impersonal part of that absolute truth.
Yeah.
But they do realize that there is some absolute truth. Whereas Mayavadis, they are offensive. They are saying, okay, absolute truth is there, but when we get liberated, we also become the same absolute truth because we merge into that absolute truth. That is the only difference.
Yeah, because basically I would say that the Brahmavadis, they recognize a truth higher than themselves. It's just that their conception of that higher truth is an impersonal one, a featureless one.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, so we're on the same page. Thank you so much, Master.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Okay. Hare Krishna.
Mataji, I have one last question. So in the Brahmopasakas, we had three different types. Prapta Brahmalaya, one who is actually merged in the Brahman. That means what? They are mentally merged, is it? Because they are not really interested.
Exactly. Yes.
So mentally merged, that is that in their meditation they are mentally merged like that.
Mentally, yes, in the meditation.
Okay. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you again. This was brilliant. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay.
If nobody has any questions. Hare Krishna.
Yes, Kamodaki Mataji, you can.
Okay. Thank you very much, Krishnadasundari Mataji, for very enlightening intelligent class, which is beyond me, my brain. I will have to hear again and again. And we are very grateful to you. We look forward to your association again in future and get more of this enlightening. If nobody has any question, we can end the call here. Vancha kalpata rupyasya kripa sindhu deva danam vedyo vaishna vedyo namo antakoti vaishna vrinda ki jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai Maharaj ki jai Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai Har Grace Kirti Das Sundari Mataji ki jai
Jai
Hare
Krishna.
ki jai, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev ki jai. All Bhaktavrunda ki jai.
Jai.